Welcome in to a Chicago Bears Network production. Download the Chicago Bears official app, brought to you by Verizon, to follow the team on the go. Bears Weekly is brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Bet Rivers, CDW, Connie's Pizza, and Miller Lite. Here are your hosts, Jeff Joliak, a.k.a. the Mayor of Bearsville, and his sidekick, Tom the Surfmaster Thayer.
Interesting drops. You're the Surfmaster. And what do you say I was?
I don't know. I just heard my own name.
Yeah, whenever you hear your own, when you hear your name, you turn your head quickly. Hey, welcome in, everybody. Good to have you along this evening. This is Bears Weekly on ESPN Chicago and the Bears Radio Network. I am Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer. Looks like we got some new nicknames, so we'll have to work on those.
I want to hear your nickname, so now I can start going by that.
Jeff Miller, thank you for taking care of business at the ESPN 1000 studios. Jim Miller will be along here in a moment. Our producers from the Bears, Dan Barilli and Jordan Tredup. And thanks, as always, to the executive producer of the Bears Radio Network, the Big E, Eric Ostrowski. Coming up in our next segment, we'll be joined by one of the three defensive interior linemen the Bears drafted this year. We'll be talking to Zach Pickens out of the University of South Carolina. So we'll talk to him in just a moment as well. And, Tom, how you feeling? Got OTAs next week. Saw the rookies last week, and now we blend the two. They've been working together, at least those who signed their contracts, working together with the vets anyway up there at Halisaw, working in the weight room, working on the field a little bit.
Yeah, I'm looking for this to get underway because, you know, I was – so, Jeff, I started looking at some information today, and I was looking at specifically the running back position. And I think because, you know, last year my focus was the defensive backfield. And how was that going to play out throughout the course of the year? How they're going to create competition. And they created competition. They created depth. And the rookies came in and they were inserted immediately and they held up well. When I look at the running back position, Jeff, you talk about Montgomery, 16 games, 16 starts. Khalil Herbert, 13 games, one start. Evans and Ebner, no starts. Now you think about that position. What direction is it going to take? Where is it going to go? And how, because it's got to be a major factor inside this offense because we're looking to take pressure off of Justin Fields and add a little bit more pressure on the success of the offensive line and how the running back position salutes the offense.
Well, I think it's going to be some great competition. Deontay Foreman, of course, had a great year last year in Carolina. Herbert had a great year brewing for the Bears last year in multifaceted ways. Roschon Johnson, the rookie. Travis Homer coming aboard. Good third down back special teamer. And Trustin Ebner will fight in there as well. We got two fullbacks on the roster in Kari Blassingame and the undrafted rookie free agent who impressed me, a rookie minicamp, Robert Burns. Jim Miller, you like the Bears running game besides the quarterback, Justin Fields? Welcome in.
Yeah, I certainly do. I mean, you finish first in the NFL and running the football, and I don't think that they want to go backwards, right? They want to go forward. So you'd like to think to set up the play action and to really, you know, increase the passing game. I will say I do think they want more balance. There's no doubt about that. But I think the run game will set that all up with how they're going to do. So I expect a big jump from this offense here.
Jim, real quickly, from looking at it from the eyes of a quarterback when you're developing a relationship with a running back, you look at the running back position, they're going to come in with 12 total catches from last season when you lose what David Montgomery gave to this team. How do you get the offensive line better being in terms of the run blocking, but also develop a passing offense with the running back and the quarterback?
Yeah, I think for, you know, even if it's off the play action, you know, you always got to be, and I bring up really that play against Green Bay late in the year where really Justin Fields should have dumped it down to the running back. Jaire Alexander undercuts a curl route. It was Equanimous St. Brown that was in there at that point, and he should have just, you know, dumped it down to the running back where they can be more involved in the passing game. I don't think any of those guys are not capable of doing that. I think Ryan Poles have been pretty clear. He thinks Roschon Johnson is a pretty special guy. I know Khalil Herbert can catch out of the backfield, and that was really what Trustin Ebner really thrived on in college as well. So I think those guys are more than capable of doing it. I just think it's Justin Fields advancing, you know, his processing and moving on in his reads to really be cognizant, to really get the ball down to his backs. And sometimes it's easy. I think once you realize as a quarterback, hey, man, sometimes I can just dump the ball off, and these guys are going to make a guy miss. It could be a five-yard dump-off pass or check down right over the center, and these guys all of a sudden they shake a linebacker, and it's a 10, 15-yard gain. And I do think the Bears have running backs that can do that. And that specific play that I'm talking about in Green Bay, that was a first and 10 play in what was basically a two-minute drive. And so, you know, again, if it's hairy at all, if down the field, just dump it down to your backs and have the confidence and the trust that, one, you just kept the drive alive. It doesn't have to be just one and done on the field. You still have two more downs in order to get that first down. But if you have trust in these guys out of the backfield and they're going to make a play, who knows? That could have been a first down because there wasn't a tackler in sight that would have caught up with any of those running backs on that play.
I love the memory. A quarterback remembers every play. They know every detail, the play call, actually what the coverages were and the whole bit. Hey, and don't forget Kari Blasingame in the passing game. I know there it's in there, Tom. I know it's in there for Kari to surprise us a little bit in the passing game. And we'll talk about Justin Fields in that short passing game and his conversation with Larry Mayer from ChicagoBears.com. We'll talk about that tonight as well. But coming up next, we'll be joined by one of the rookies, that 10-member class that Ryan Pohl says each and every one of those guys has a chip on their shoulder as they come to town for the 2023 season and beyond. Zach Pickens coming up next. We'll take a break here on Bears Weekly on the Chicago Bears Radio Network and ESPN Chicago.
This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
Hey, you want VIP access to every Bears home game? How about exclusive seating, sideline credentials, and more? Now available. Get the ultimate VIP fan package this season by visiting ChicagoBearsVIP.com. Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak, and Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio is moving the chains here on Bears Weekly on ESPN 1000 here on the Bears Radio Network. Joined tonight by the Bears' newest defensive tackle, pick number 64, round 3 out of South Carolina. We welcome Zach Pickens to the program. Zach, how you feeling tonight?
I'm good. How you doing?
Fantastic. You know what I noticed, Zach? You're going to kill me. But, you know, when I've been typing out your name, until today, I thought there were two E's and not two C's. So your name is spelled with one A and two C's. And I'm like, have I got this right? So how many times, you got to tell me, how many times did teachers, coaches, friends get that spelling wrong over the years?
100 times. they spell it multiple ways. It'd be like Z-A-C-H or Z-A-C, or they put Z-A-C-H-H. So I've seen it all, so.
You know what it does?
It kind of
plays tricks with your eyes. You see the A, and you see, okay, now I got it. There's two C's. Anyway, we got that out of the way. Hey, you know what? I watched your video with our good friend Anthony Spice Adams in the car ride from the airport to Hallis Hall when you were going to be introduced as one of the draft picks here, and he does it in his inimitable way to break it down, but. You know what I know? You got a great personality, man. You got a great sense of humor. Is this one of your secret powers right here, your special sauce?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the sauce to it, really. I'm really laid back, not doing too much, just trying to have fun with everything I do.
Hey, Zach, I introduce myself. My name is Tom Thayer. I'm a former offensive lineman with the – you know, Jeff talks about looking you up, and when – So, Zach, we're accustomed to a lot of guys that come out after their junior year and they kind of see how the draft falls for them. But you're a four-year college guy, and, you know, I talk about the difference between your junior year and your senior year. Did you gain confidence? Did you gain a better understanding of your position? And do you think ultimately it helped you get drafted where you did and probably more player-ready as soon as you get to the NFL?
Yes, sir. Now, my junior year, that was my first time actually starting, and I really got a cusp of everything. And I felt like I was – my mind said I was ready, but the game itself, I was not ready. So I came back my senior year because I also wanted to graduate. That was like the last thing I owed my mom, and was that piece of paper. And once I got that, I understand that the playbook, I knew what everybody was doing, and it helped me as a player and a person to know what to do and how to do it. So I'm very glad I went back for my senior year.
Good for you. Congratulations on getting your diploma. You know, also, Zach, when people look at defensive linemen, they kind of put them in one position and they think that's the life of a defensive lineman. For a guy like yourself that can play three technique, which is inside of the offensive guard, outside of the offensive guard, five technique, or even over the center, do you have a preference to where you like to play, or are you a guy with such versatility that you can basically move up and down the line of scrimmage?
With me, I can do anything like anybody tells me to do. So I'm willing to be okay with going down there, holding up 600 pounds, going to shade or three tech. Maybe they want me outside once in a while. So I wanted to put myself in a good position to help the team.
Hey, Zach, Jim Miller here. So welcome to Chicago. And you should
yes,
be
sir.
Excited. And how was just take us through the rookie mini camp. You know, how'd that go for you? You know, you're meeting all your teammates and everybody in the building, and plus a lot's being thrown at you. You know, the playbook and picking things up, and maybe just how'd that go for you?
That went well. Coach Smith, Coach Hines, really they slowed the game down, slowed the teaching down, slowed everything down so we can understand it. And we really was just focused on like the little things. It was like, just get off this week. Just get off. We just want to see you get off. Don't worry about anything else, because we could teach that. And we was just going out there, being ourselves and playing the game that we love. And they didn't really care about the technique right now, because they knew we was like not really used to it. So they really getting us prepared for it.
Yeah, well, Devin, and you're only going to get better. I mean, the thing I love about you can absolutely move. You are a disruptive penetrator. You got great foot quickness. Where'd you get that 4.8 40, though, man? That's where I want to know.
Either from my brother, because he played DB, and I get my legs from my mom, so probably from them.
And we're with Zach Pickens, the defensive lineman from South Carolina, joining us here on Bears Weekly with Jeff Joniak, that's Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller. So you and your new teammate, Jervon Dexter, seem to be fast friends already. You've mentioned him almost every time you've done an interview. He was picked just ahead of you out of Florida. You guys were the fifth and sixth defensive tackles taken in the top 64 in a normal draft. You would have been considered a second rounder as well, but you got stuck with that third round tag because only 31 picks in round one. So think of yourself as a second rounder, not a third rounder, my man. But how close are you guys already, and do you see yourselves – you know, being a part of something special here down the road as foundation pieces inside?
Yes, sir. We talk every day. We communicate with each other. We hold each other accountable. Like, we was excited because we was always together. Then I had a feeling that we was always going – I was hoping we was going to be on the same team. Then when that happened, we just was excited. We knew what time it was. It was like, yeah, we got to go to work. We got to do a lot this year to turn a lot of heads, and that's all we're going to do. We're going to try to work on our craft, might be in the game, trying to help wherever we can.
And, you know, Jim brought up the mini camp and how you felt you did. They worked you now, didn't they? I mean, that wasn't just you guys put in some. Now you got a taste of what it's really going to be like when you get the pads on at camp. What'd you think about it all?
That was fun. It was different because it felt like I played like a real game, but I didn't have no pads on. So that was different for me. But it was just intense. Everything was happening fast. And once I get used to that, once the game starts slowing down for me, everything else is going to be fine.
You know, Zach, that's one of the elements. When I first got my stance against NFL players, they went through the canes, the ball was snapped, and I couldn't believe how quick the defense was in front of me. And then, you know, you get some reps underneath your belt, and it starts to become more of a reality. You understand the speed of the game. From the first snap that you went throughout the rookie minicamp to the last snap you took at the end of it, did it slow down for you, or does it seem like it's a whole different speed than what you saw in college?
Oh, it's definitely a whole different speed in college. College, you knew, like, what they could do and, like, what was coming. Like, here, you don't know who got the ball, where it's going. It could be, like, a play action pass. You think they run in, then he hit you over top with a pass. With the NFL, you never know what you're going to get. College, you expect a little more, but NFL is 10 times different.
You know, one thing I saw, I was watching a highlight tape of Darnell Wright, and I was going, oh, my God, this guy is big. He's got bendability. He can close down. He can get out of his stance. So when you had a chance to work against the group of offensive linemen that you went by, we talk about the speed of the game, but then you look at the size and the athleticism of your opponent. Was that a noticeable difference to you? And, you know, is it something that, you know, the more reps you get, the more and familiar you'll be able to come with it?
Oh, yeah. Nah, they was, like, taller than I was. I was like, God, they're like 6'7", 6'8", guards. I'm like, I'm used to the tackles being that tall. But getting reps with them would probably get me ready for the what's coming up. And we got a pretty good group. We all challenge each other. We make each other better. We keep each other safe. Whenever somebody falls, we make sure we don't do nothing overboard. So we got a good group. We take care of each other.
Well, specifically, as you walk away from the rookie minicamp, you know, what you feel you need to work on. You know, certainly a lot's coming at you, but, you know, you already have identified maybe some things like, all right, I need to do this. I need to, you're already kind of making your checklist, I got to believe.
For me, I got to, since we was more of react to tech, I got to do more getting off instead of, like, taking my two steps, wait, react, and see what they're giving me. But I got to get off, understand, like, what's where the slot is going. Once I understand that, I'm going to be really good.
Well, what do you plan? Like, I know you're just getting going with the OTAs and everything, and it'll end with the veteran mini camp. But, you know, have you already made plans of what you're going to do between that time period and training camp when you actually show up and are really going to be in Chicago for the duration?
Yes, sir. I've been talking with my coach. I was going to see when I could get some time with him and to get things slowed down a little slower for me to understand, like, what the slot protection is going. Get off, it's going to come. Once I keep repping it, that's going to come. But once I understand what the offense is doing and getting a good feel of what's coming at me, I'm going to be just fine. So I'm going to be talking to Coach Smith a lot.
Zach Pickens, our guest here on Bears Weekly. We'll let you go. Before we do, I just got to say that expectations for you have been always on the table, right? Because you were a big-time recruit, a five-star recruit, considered to be the number one defensive tackle in your class of 2019. And how have you managed that over the course of your college career as you enter the NFL now with all these expectations, given your traits, your quickness, your size, your length? You got 34 3/8 inch arms. My goodness, that'll work against those 6'8", 6'7" guards at camp when you get them in front of you again. But how have you handled that? How have you shouldered all that over the course of your career?
I never really paid attention to it. I always tried to worry about what I had to do to be better, a better teammate, a better person. I know all that'll come, but really I was just worrying about what I could do to help the team.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you once the games start flying at us, and that'll be coming sooner than you think. Training camp just about 2 months away. And, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but Todd Machey from ESPN called you the steal of the draft. So.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate it. Tell him I said thank you.
We shall. Hey, thanks for taking the time. We'll see you up at Hallis Hall.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Zach.
That's Zach Pickens, thanks, Zach, out of South Carolina. I love his attitude. I love his humor. He laughs a lot. That's good. I we didn't have enough time, but I'd love to ask him if he's a talker out there on the field. Like, is he? You know,
they all are, Jeff.
A little John Randall in him?
Listen, I'll assume that they all are because defensive linemen are good at that. I just like the young competition at that position. Because when you look at a segment that needs to be upgraded, it is that defensive line. And when you talk about the other two defensive linemen that they brought aboard and some of the young developing talent behind them, I think it's important for the future.
Yes, it is, and we'll see all of it before our eyes coming up next week at the start of OTAs. Once a week, media allowed to have their eyes on the practice, and we'll see a lot of it firsthand as well. We're going to step away, take another break. This is Bears Weekly on ESPN Chicago with Jim Miller, Tom Thayer. I'm Jeff Joniak. Back in a few.
This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
Players over their careers when they come in as rookies, and you see the personality. Zach Pickens, we just wrapped up our conversation with him. Welcome back to Bears Weekly. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, and from SiriusXM NFL Radio's Move the Chains, our good friend Jim Miller. Jim and Tom alluded to this in the break. You hope these guys continue to keep that, right? But they keep it if they have success, I would imagine, because if things don't go well, you know, everything goes differently for them. But a guy like that could become one of the leaders of the team just based on his personality, keeping things light in the locker room and whatnot. He says he's a jokester.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you always need guys that bring levity to everything. You know, I think you brought up Adams, you know, Anthony, and, you know, think of, you know, just his, you know, he can break a lot of tension, you know, when, you know, sometimes when losses can mount and everybody feels the pressure of what's going on, some guys can ease that tension. And I think Anthony was one of those players that could definitely do that. I mean, so much so, I remember asking Mike McCarthy about Anthony. He's like, man, we loved that player. We hated playing against him, but he even had some fun and, you know, brought up some stories about Anthony that, you know, really, you know, made things easier on him as an opposing head coach, that made him laugh, you know, whether things are going good or bad. But, you know, it's his work ethic. He's got above, you know, I can see why Todd McShay said what he said. I mean, his numbers are really good when you look at Zach Pickens. And he is a penetrator. Like I said, he does have really good foot quickness, and he can move. And so, you know, he was discussing in that interview, he was kind of playing more two-gap stuff. He said, well, normally I hesitate and try to see what's going on, and then I react. And that's really what you needed two gapping defensive tackle to do. That's not what he was drafted to do. This guy is going to be a penetrator. He's got to get off the ball quickly, be disruptive, and not hesitate at all. So he'll get there, and he's got the talents to do it, and he's got the traits to do it.
You know, Jim and Jeff, the role of the importance of the emphasis of getting your diploma and the support behind him that makes that important in a player's life. I think it's not the end-all. However, it is important because I think it's a super positive influence that encourages these guys to get it. And I know Jeff has a diploma, and I know I do. I'm not sure about Jim, but I'm kidding.
No,
I'm kidding.
What are you doing?
I'm joking.
Oh. Hey, mine's the most questionable out of the three of us.
I don't mean to minimalize that, but when I listen to a guy like Zach and I read a little bit about him and I hear some of his interviews, you know, that plays a role, and it gives you a sense of accomplishment and confidence and everything. So, you know, that's why I hope Zach continues to, you know, blossom the personality that we've seen just a little bit of.
Well, we thought they just handed him out there at Notre Dame like Pez dispensers is what they did. So.
I'm sorry, Jim. I was joking.
What did you major in, Jim?
Materials and logistic management. I had a dual degree in purchasing operations, transportation, distribution. I thought I'd be working for one of the big three auto companies. So
okay,
I actually interviewed for Ford. Yeah,
you
interviewed for Ford. Yeah, and I was like,
for
all
an
right,
internship, or would you didn't believe in yourself? You're
well,
going
no,
to get
I was just saying, hey, you don't know who Dick Miller is? He's a true Richard. All right, you better have a backup plan. Let's just put it that way.
Well, you had a backup plan. Tom did not have a backup plan, did you?
Football. No,
it was it.
I think who was it? Was it Darnell Wright that said there was no other option? And that's
kind of the same way
I felt coming out of college. It was my only option that I gave myself, although I was lucky and fortunate enough to get a degree after I played my first year in the USFL and went right back to school, because I think it was a big a promise that I made that I would eventually get the diploma.
All right, I got to ask you guys this. So I'm alluding to the fact this guy, he seems to be a great personality. He's fun, laughing all the time, chuckled at almost everything you heard in this interview. Jim, who's the funniest guy you ever faced as you get under center and some chirping's going on from the defensive line, linebacker level, whatever, anything that really almost made you laugh mid-snap?
Yeah, I played against John Randall there when I was with the Bears. He was with Minnesota. He was always talking. Oliver Gibson, who was a former teammate of mine in Pittsburgh, ended up playing for the Cincinnati Bengals. And I remember when we went into Cincinnati and beat the, I forget what it was, like 28-0 or something like that. And so the first play is a pass play, and I get rid of it, and he hits me and takes me to the ground. But it was a completion and everything. And I just remember him saying, "Jim, I'm going to be here all day," is what he said. And I said, "Okay." I said, "That's why you're no longer with Pittsburgh." I said, "Because you couldn't get there all day there, and I doubt you're going to get there here too." So, and that was the only time he hit me the whole game. It was hilarious. And so
he's
I was
from
talking.
Romeoville, by the way.
I know Oliver Gibson.
How about you, Tom? You go in your stance, you break the huddle. McMahon's under center. You put your hand in the dirt. Anybody ever make you laugh?
Oh,
that
Tim Harris.
Hard to block him.
Tim Harris from the Green Bay Packers. I remember him lining up over me one time, and he goes, "You know, I haven't got a sack over you yet. I'm about to get one now." And he luckily he didn't, but his shoe came off. And so Jay took his shoe, act like he threw it into the stands, but he tucked it in the back of his pants. Now Tim Harris is running around like a chicken with his head cut off, looking for a shoe, thinking it's up in the stands, and Jay had it tucked in the back of his pants the whole time. He was, you know, whether you ran into him on the street because he did spend time in Chicago or throughout the course of the he never stopped talking, and it was always humor. It was never vindictive, and I think, you know, when you asked that question, it wasn't I didn't go through a Rolodex of guys, funny guys, but Tim Harris, he was above and beyond humor on the field.
All right, I got one more for you each. How about in the huddle, somebody cracked you up, you're getting to the line of scrimmage, Jim, you're trying to get the call out, and you can't do it because you're just laughing too hard. No? Yes? I'd like to think it happened once.
Well, it'd be Justin Strelzik. He's no longer with us, but he played a game sick, and let's just say he lost some bodily functions, all right? So he was just like, a cower called in a pass play, and he said, "No, you need to call a run here because I need to get in and go to the bathroom." So we called a run to run out the clock, and Bill Cowher's yelling at me. Like, what? I'm like, "Hey, man, Justin," at that point, you know, Justin's a veteran. He was a big guy, and, you know, he was having some issues out there, and we just needed to get into halftime. That's all I know.
Tom,
you know,
you had characters so on the your night team, that brother.
Listen, the night that we lost to the Miami Dolphins in the Super Bowl year, Walter Payton was on a string of 100-yard games, and he needed one more to break the record. And he had like 93 yards, and we were getting beat. Dick had called a pass from the sideline and said, "Guys, we got to get Walter his 100-yard game, and you got to support me when we go back to the sideline." As Dick was going crazy on the sideline because he saw the formation, McMahon had called a run play to Walter. And Walter got about 4 yards. And so then again, Dick is going crazy. He sends in a pass, and Jim goes, "We're going to do it again." And so he calls another run play. We're all kind of laughing, but not laughing because we know what the circumstances are. He calls another run play to Walter Payton. Walter gets his 100 yards, and then we get back in the huddle. He goes, "Okay, guys, let's now try to win this game."
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a gutsier player to be able to go back to the sideline and face Ditka after that. However, he had so much respect for the accomplishments of Walter Payton. He said, "Okay, this kind of supersedes the moment, so let's get Walter his 100.
That's Tom Thayer. I'm Jeff Joniak. Jim Miller, storytelling time here on Bears Week. When we come back, though, we're going to break into and delve into Justin Fields. He had a good interview with Larry Mayer from ChicagoBears.com, talking about what he's working on, what he's looking forward to. We'll break down all of that and bring you more as we break down the Bears, getting ready for next week's first OTA in front of the media. This is Bears Weekly on ESPN 1000.
This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
This segment Minnesota Bears Weekly, brought to you by CDW. People will get it. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller from SiriusXM, NFL Radio's Moving the Chains. Justin Fields, excited. Thinks the roster's revitalized on the offensive side of the ball with some skill position additions. Obviously, DJ Moore at the top of mind. And he told Larry Mayer from ChicagoBears.com that Moore, you can tell, loves the game. Hard worker, talented, great to have him. Will bring a lot of juice, energy, leadership to the locker room. All things we want to hear, fellas. We'll start with Jim. The importance of that recognition from the quarterback, and not just on reputation about DJ Moore from his days in Carolina. He's actually witnessing it firsthand, and that to me is more important than what he's done in the past.
Yeah, I mean, this is a talented player from Carolina. You know, it's like I said, all his every year he was there, he should have had over 1,000 yards. You know, if there wasn't some quarterback issues early there. So, big-time player. He can get it. He's a good route runner, has good hands. You can tell he understands coverages, how to break them down, how to break down defensive backs. And he's a big target who can fly. And he can open some things up, in my opinion. He is a true number one that really, you know, he's going to command coverage. You know, so he's what we call a coverage dictator. He is all that and then some. So, I'm excited where their relationship's going to go, how quickly they get on the same page with one another. He's definitely, I think Justin is going to really, you know, or should say DJ Moore will earn the trust of Justin Fields pretty quickly, in my opinion.
Tom, he's working on getting the ball out quicker. Okay, that's obviously we all feel the same way about that. Fields, he's accurate downfield. More consistent, getting it out quicker, being more accurate at that point, giving these skill position guys a better chance to catch the ball and run for extra yards. How vital is that for the next step? And will that also reduce the number of hits he's taking, the sacks, because there were 55 last year, and his completion percentage at 60%. If he just masters that part of his game alone, will that elevate everything else?
I mean, you could talk about the talent beforehand, before the season gets underway and how it's been upgraded, but you have to develop trust in your protection. And you have to know your protection so perfectly, you know where the vulnerabilities lie every huddle. And I think that's what will give Justin more time. It'll give him more peace mentally. It'll give him a better understanding where his escape route will open up. And when you have the upgrade in talent that you talked to, getting, you know, DJ Moore, the first thing you have to do before you ever get on the field is you have to be an asset in the locker room. And when I talked to Ron Rivera when the Bears got DJ Moore and was his first head coach, that's the first thing he brought up. It wasn't, oh, he's this fast, or he's got this catching radius, or he's got this type of size. He says, no, he is going to be great for Justin Fields. And I think that really says a lot about a player, that when he gets into that locker room and you see all those different faces, and, you know, whether it's young guys that don't know what they're doing yet or experienced guys, or you're going to come in and you're going to be an asset for the quarterback position, it's important. But Justin, with him being in the same terminology 2 years in a row, you're going to see a different command of the quarterback, because it just becomes second nature. You're not thinking about what you just said. You know exactly what you're looking for when you break the huddle. And then if you have to make that change, you have the capabilities and the complete understanding to do it.
Jim, when you're talking about getting the ball out quicker, how do you maintain that accuracy or develop that accuracy from that position? And pointing to Tom's explanation of knowing your protection better, where your protection and where you feel comfortable it's going to come. But, you know, just taking that shotgun snap, and it's a dump off. It's a quick fire over to the tight end position. It's a quick slant. All that, what's the absolute fundamental key to that whole thing elevating?
Yeah, it's your footwork. You know, your feet got to marry up where you're in balance to throw the ball. You know, and sometimes it's going to vary. You know, I'll give you an example. Say an out route. Okay, say a 12-yard out route. If you're under center, you know, sometimes you'll be able to take that drop, and you can't hitch and throw. So it's got to be off of your fifth step, where you just put that right foot into the ground, and then you've got to drive it, transition and drive it to hit that out route to anticipate the throw, say if it's off coverage. But yet, if it's cover two, meaning a rolled up coverage, it's a different five step where you can hitch and throw, because now that out route is probably, because it's cover two, going to convert to a fade route. Okay, so it becomes a hole shot. So you may have time to drop five and then hitch and throw, and it'll marry up better with your footwork. But it's really the footwork's the key, and you got to be in balance in order to be an accurate passer. Yeah, there's going to be times where you're throwing off your back foot, or you know you got some pass rush coming barreling down on you, and you may have to sidestep to your right or left and throw it where your feet aren't exactly perfect. Those we call those unscripted throws, where you got to be able to do those things, where it's a no-step throw and your feet aren't in balance, but you still got to be able to hit those too. But it's few and far between. If you trust the protection ahead of you, in front of you, and everything marries up, and you're just going off what you're reading, and that's going to determine how your feet set up on each particular pass in order to deliver an accurate ball. But at the same time, you've got to understand what you're seeing to anticipate that. All right, I go up there. Like I said, let's say we call 82 semi. Oh, cover two. I know I'm most likely taking a five-step and a hitch to hit this hole shot because I believe it's going to be there. You know, you got to be able to anticipate those things. And then you drop back, you confirm it with the safety. Oh, got a ton of room. The hole shot's open. Boom. Hitch and throw and deliver the hole shot with an accurate strike.
160 rushing attempts last season, Tom. Where would you be comfortable, given his dynamic ability run of the football, a number?
Oh, my God, it's impossible to put an – okay, if he doesn't have 160 rushing attempts and he's got 100 rushing attempts, how many completions at 60? And I think that's the key ingredient there. If he increases his completions percentage per game and the other elements of the – like Jim – talks about his footwork marrying exactly what the play called in the huddle and get the ball out. I think for the long term of Justin's career, that's what we want to see. But gosh, when you look at how dynamic of a runner he is, you don't ever want to take that threat away, or you don't ever want to take that threat away from the opponents that getting ready to prepare for you. But if he can rush for 100 carries, take those 60s, have 45 completions out of them, maybe that gives more scoring opportunities, more red zone touchdowns, and the likelihood that he's understanding the passing game to where ultimately they want him to be.
Jim, do you care about that number?
Yeah, I do care about that number. I think when it's in the passing game, you want it to be the last resort. All right, say protection breaks down, and now he knows he's got to. All right, it's time for me to take off with my feet. You got to weigh the risk reward, because part of it, this is about his growth and development, because every time he runs with the football, that's one less pass that he's getting better at and processing information and breaking down a defense and going through his reads and delivering the ball, which is what you want him to do. So I think you want that to be the last resort and say, hey, you don't want to take one of his strengths away from him, but to bring him along as a quarterback, I want that to be his last resort when it comes to passing the football. So what I mean is, if protection is good, the route and coverage is good, I want him in there delivering the football, all right? Because that's only how he's going to grow as a passer. They'll still have the design runs and things like that. But for right now, for me, I want that to be a last resort for him to grow in the passing game.
Okay, go ahead, Tom.
So again, Doug Coletti helped me with some numbers. And Justin played on the lead 252 minutes and 16 seconds last year out of 954 in 41 seconds. So 26% of the time he played on the lead. So if you're talking about the increase in him throwing the ball more efficiently, you're going to increase the time that you play on the lead. That relates to time of possession, and that's also keeping your defense off the field. So what you brought up is really interesting if you wanted to break it down and see where some of the first year to second year quarterbacks that were running quarterbacks to begin their career, what did they do in that time? And it's an interesting number you brought up, but I just been having to sit in front of this number that I was able to pull up that Doug Coletti put together for us.
That's a great point. All things look better when you're playing on the lead, no question.
Yep.
And, you know, if you limit your turnovers, the fumbles, the sacks, obviously is a big one, all that, because a first down sack ruins every drive, right? A first down sack's a killer. A first down penalty, which the Bears didn't have
right.
That many of. They were very, very good in that regard. And Jim, the Bears they were top 15 in the league, I think, in red zone touchdown efficiency. So if you get there more, again, theoretically, all these little things matter, and it changes the vibrations of the outcome. Yeah. Well, would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, the 55 sacks that the Bears gave up last year, I mean, those are just flat-out drive killers. Because like you said, I say it all the time, first and 10 now becomes second and 17. Good luck. Good luck. Yeah, you're not going to have a lot of success doing that. And so he's got to be aware of that. Sometimes the only play is to throw the ball away. But I think, you know, I think we understand that not all those 55 sacks, and Tom will back me up, were on the offensive line. You know, he's got to be able to function in the pocket, passing the football, avoiding pass rush issues when protection is an issue, processing information, getting the ball out of his hand quicker so you can what? Stay on schedule, where first and 10 now becomes second and 3. You know, that's where you want to be as an offense.
Yeah. Sacks on first down last year, the Bears had the most, 21 first down sacks offensively.
And I didn't even know that stat, but I threw that out there.
Yeah, which is too many. All right, we're going to take a break. Our last segment coming up, we'll take a tour around the NFL, see what's going on, what's cooking today. A little sneak peek at what you might be watching on 1920 Football Drive, another installment just released by the Bears, and what's going on within the organization with Tom and Jim. I'm Jeff here on Bears Weekly on the Bears Radio Network.
This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
Always, things are happening as we inch toward the start of the OTA season and then training camp. Yeah, just a couple of months away, man. It's coming quick. It's here. Get ready for it. Jeff Joniak along with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio. Jim, some of the news around the league. So everybody's wondering, are Bears going to get one of these pass rushers? Carl Lawson re-ups, though, with the Jets. That's one off the list.
Yeah, and it sounded like they restructured. Well, he had to reduce and restructure, and that's what guys are going to do, or potentially they could get released. So this is the time. So you just wonder, is somebody out there that is willing to trade a guy? You know, and I'm sure Bears are maybe looking at that and reassessing, because there's going to be some more guys. Like, we see that going on right now with Dalvin Cook, right? They want him to take a pay cut, right, up in Minnesota. They just traded away Za'Darius Smith to the Cleveland Browns, and that may give them a little bit of breathing room now where they can have more time to see how they can get this thing done with Dalvin Cook. But that's going on with pass rushers out there too, I guarantee it.
Tom, I'm glad Za'Darius is out of the division, but they play Cleveland at the end of the year. So,
but, you know, the Jadavian Clowneys and Leonard Floyds and guys like that, I think Ryan Pace – Ryan Poles is a really good judge of eye contact character, and he understands what a football player needs to do to contribute to the betterment of a roster and an organization. So I don't think there's anybody's going to come and just because you have a reputation as a pass rusher at one time, what has your production been in order to try to bring you aboard of a team that's getting younger and with higher expectations in the future because of what's going on in the division. So, you know, I have a great deal of trust in Ryan, and I think that if someone is brought aboard, it's going to be the right guy that's going to, again, be an asset in the locker room and be, you know, and help on the field. And so if you're out there and you want to bring a pass rusher aboard, how many reps per game are you talking about? Are you talking about 20 positive reps? Are you talking about second long and third and long exclusively? What is your goal in your game plan if you do bring in a pass rusher?
Man, and I'm also interested, you know, we don't ever talk about these guys, but Dominique Robinson from 1 year to the next, raw right. player, former offensive player, and this is a critical point in the career of Travis Gibson, who flashed with the ability to get to the quarterback and force fumbles, more importantly. And last year did not work out that way. So I understand he's done a ton of work up at Hallis Hall this entire offseason, so I'm excited about that. By the way, Mitch Trubisky, 2-year extension to stay with the Pittsburgh Steelers, so a veteran quarterback to help out that situation. All right, the Bears do this. You have something else?
Well, I was just thinking, and so I this claim, Ndamukong Suh said, look, I'm not going to training camp with anybody, but if someone wants to sign me for the regular season, I'm 100% guarantee you I'll be ready.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
what I mean, I know he's an inside dominator.
Yeah.
But a couple of the defensive tackles they brought aboard.
He's
going
to be looking to win a ring. He's going to be looking to go somewhere where there's a ring.
So should the Bears.
You're exactly right. And the Bears do a great job on this documentary, 1920 Football Drive, the latest installment released late last week. Here's a sample.
This is the earliest I've done this. Usually we pick like a position or two, but I think getting a big picture understanding of what the draft looks like right now is going to help everybody. So we're going to start with Darnell Wright.
As a football player, he does have good football IQ. We could draw on the board. He is very a talented guy. He is a starter ability. He's got very good size and length. He's a dense, strong player. He's got balance of body control. He's got lateral quickness with the ability to change direction. He can mirror. Good use of hands and punch, and he does have strong and heavy hands, can set an edge. He can move the line of scrimmage.
You're not running down the middle of this guy. He's not budging at all.
You watched him at left tackle last year. You went up against Trayvon Walker and Nolan Smith, and he held his own. I mean, they got him a couple times, but there's some snaps where he was shocking them with his hands, man. He's a heavy-handed dude. Coach said, you know, he's a dude. He's come a long way since they arrived. And the day I was at practice, he was jumping around, enjoying it, competing. So looked like he was happy to be there. So I just think that we just need to do a little bit more work on this guy. Because I think he's got heavy hands. He could be a starting right tackle for us day one.
Ian Cunningham, Ryan Poles, and the scouts building a championship culture. It's a good look. Check it out. You can certainly catch it and get your own opinion on how things work behind the scenes. But that was from the entire draft process from the beginning, starting with the scouting look at things before the combine and all the way through the draft. And you can find the full episode on the Chicago Bears YouTube page on the Chicago Bears app. Tom, I invite you,
to
watch it.
One quick second about when he says, you know, I saw him at practice and he was flying around, he was running around. I remember my offensive line coach my senior year at Notre Dame and the end of my junior year. He would tell me what scouts were coming to practice that day to watch practice, and not exclusively one player, but there were pro scouts on the field. And it took your level of enthusiasm of practice, you know, which may be a grumpy 7 to an all-out 10. And so I like to hear that comment by those guys that he, you know, that he had a really good practice attitude.
And, Jim, we got Eddie George helping out of the Bill Walsh Diversity Coaching Fellowship Edition for the next couple weeks. That can't hurt. He's done a nice job in his coaching career now at Tennessee State. And he's when a guy like that speaks, he's been to 8 Pro Bowls, you're going to listen.
Yeah, he's a tremendous player and obviously a tremendous coach, a very serious guy. And he's going to drop a lot of knowledge. You know, guys need to tap him as much as they can. Because, hey, he's been there, done that, and what a terrific player in his day, and I think he is doing a great job as a coach. And I'd want that information that he has tucked in his head.
And Randy Shannon, 31 years of coach and currently the co-defensive coordinator and linebacker coach at Florida State, expected to be a power this particular college football season, a starter on the Miami 87 national title team. I don't know, Tom, you might have faced him when you were a young man at Notre Dame, playing those games against Miami. All right, that's going to wrap us up. We'll talk to you next week. Tom, thanks from Maui. Jim, thanks from Michigan. You guys stay well. All right, we'll get ready for you. By the way, the NFL rookie premiere going on today through Sunday. Roschon Johnson and Tyler Scott attending from the Bears. Education, indeed, about the business of football, getting their endorsement career launched and all that. There's 25 or more business partners engaging with players. That's going to do it for us. Thanks, as always, to our executive producer of the Bears Radio Network, Eric Ostrowski, Dan Brilli, Jordan Tretup from the Bears, Jeff Miller helping us out tonight for Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, and our guest tonight, Zach Pickens out of South Carolina. I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for listening. This has been Bears Weekly on the new radio home of the Bears, AM 1000 ESPN Chicago. Stay tuned. Lakers Nuggets, Game 2 coming up. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears Weekly, hosted by the mayor of Bearsville, Jeff Juniak, and Surfmaster Tom Thayer. Podcasts are available on the Chicago Bears official app, brought to you by Verizon and Apple Podcasts. Bears Weekly has been brought to you by Bet Rivers and Miller Lite.